Welcome to the Grace Abounding broadcast, sponsored by the Congregation of the Shreveport Grace Church in Shreveport, Louisiana. My name is Ken Weimer, and it is my privilege to minister the Word of God for you today. May the Lord Jesus Christ be praised and exalted through the message preached, and may He, by His Spirit of grace, grant ears to hear to each one He came to save and ransomed by His shed blood on the cross.
Let's take our Bibles and look together in Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah prophesied in a very dark day leading up to the destruction of Jerusalem, and he actually lived through it. Isaiah prophesied it years before it took place. Jeremiah actually prophesied leading up to and during the captivity in Babylon, coming down and destroying the temple. The Lord took him down into Egypt, preserved him from being taken to Babylon. But here we have in this chapter the state of being that was in the land leading up to God's judgment being brought against them. And the one thing that we are going to see here, which is prevalent even in our day, is religiosity of people, where they have the form of godliness, they have the outward manifestations of what they would call worship, and yet the Lord denounces it all because it's without the honor and glory that was due unto His Son. Everything in the Old Testament was forward-looking to the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, here's the word to Jeremiah, chapter 5. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. Just think of that as being a very religious city. Herein was the temple. But the Lord says, and see now and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man. If there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. Here's a type and picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. You stop and think, why is it that any of us are pardoned by God? Because He found a man in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who did execute judgment. And therefore, we enjoy the pardon because of Him. But in Jeremiah's day, there was not. And it's a reminder that were salvation to depend upon any one of us as mortal beings, none of us could ever be saved. Be no hope. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ came to work out this righteousness. But He makes a point of it here with Jeremiah. Go ahead and run to and fro. And notice in the broad places, that's where people like to gather. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. So go on in there and see what you find. I would say the same thing today. Ask around. These congregations, where is there a place where there is the one message of Christ and Him crucified? Where that's preached, you can be sure that God's blessing is there. But they had the temple, they had the ceremonies, they had the priests, the sacrifices, but they were all doing it for their own interests. is no understanding or knowledge of Christ. And though they say, verse 2, the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. How many times, even in our day, does that roll off people's lips? God be praised. The Lord liveth. Yet they swear falsely. They take the name of the Lord in vain. Even in sincerity. I'm sure some of them are very sincere. And they truly believe that by pronouncing the name of the Lord, that somehow they're pronouncing a blessing on people. But the Lord says they swear falsely. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? So now is the thoughts of Jeremiah as he ponders his generation, much like we today. Thou hast stricken them that they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them that they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. I dare say, if you want a challenge in our day, go into these congregations to talk to people that attend them and point them to Christ as needy sinners. And you will find a reaction that shows the hardness of their heart because they get their back bowed up. And they go, who do you think I am? They go back to their profession. Back when they were young, they made a profession. You don't need to be talking to me about turning to the Lord and repenting, crying unto the Lord and me. I've already done that. That's often a response. I did that years ago. Therefore, verse 4, I said, surely these are poor. Poor in the sense that they have nothing to recommend themselves before God, but they don't realize it. Because it adds there, they are foolish. It's one thing to be poor in spirit, made so by the Spirit of God. It's another thing to be poor and foolish. And think to yourself somewhat. For they know not, notice, the way of the Lord. There's only one way, just like the doctrine of Christ. The way. They're in the broad places up there. They're all about the ceremony and gathering, but they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. This is what's missing today in religion. The judgment of their God. People don't want you to talk about the judgment of God. Let's talk about God's love. Nope. Let's talk about his judgment. How he can be just and justified. I will get me unto the great men, and I will speak unto them. For they have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. So who are the great men? I believe these were the prophets that had gone before that no one ever considered anymore. It's like people have this word in their hands. Yet do they really consider the message of these men? Such as Jeremiah, they love to talk about them. They love to do character studies about them, but they don't know the God they proclaim. Jeremiah says of them, they have known the way of the Lord. That's why I ask the Lord constantly, bring me back to this word and teach me from this word, these men here, because I know this testimony is of God. But people of our generation, they're running after who they consider great men today. Now, if you heard of so-and-so, seen the latest book, Following After Men, that's who Jeremiah describes here. Those of old have known the way of the Lord, apostles and the prophets. It's the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. Christ said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly. They've broken that yoke. They will not have this Christ to reign over them. They're fine. We're good. Wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evenings shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their sins. Everyone that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many, and their backslidings are increased. It's describing the destruction that God would bring on Jerusalem. And as you read on, in their day, everybody was saying, the temple, there's no way God would ever bring his judgment. Jeremiah is saying, the day is coming when a lion out of the forest shall come and slay them. There will be no protection. The wolf, the leopard, shall watch over their cities. It's going to be a wild place, a barren place. How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me and sworn by them that are no gods. When I had fed them to the full, they then committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. What he calls harlots' houses, places of worship. You want to get a generation mad today? Just go down the street. Just point it out. So there's a harlot's house. There's a harlot's house. There's a harlot's house. So it's not talking about physical prostitution. It's talking about places of worship where men deny the Lord as he's revealed here. And they go after other gods, another Jesus, another gospel. They were as fed horses in the morning. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not visit for these things? Saith the Lord. Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Everybody's worried about the murder rates and what's coming in from the outside, and security, and peace, and prosperity, and all these things. But the Lord observes one thing. Where are those that worship him in spirit and truth? And the judgment of this nation, and you can read it throughout Scripture, because every time the Lord judged a nation, it wasn't because there were physical robbers or there were prostitutes in the land or there were other things that we call evils of society. That's not what brought judgment on a nation. What brought judgment on a nation is false worship. You talk about a cloud of judgment hanging over this nation. There's about, they say 80-some percent still call themselves Christian, but where are those that Christ has truly been revealed in, that know him in truth according to this word? Like I said, there's another Jesus being preached. That's what he's talking about. Every man after his neighbor's wife. That's trying to imitate what this other congregation is doing. Let me go over here and see what they're doing. It's all about false worship. Go ye up upon her walls, verse 10, and destroy. But make not a full end. Take away her battlements, for they are not the Lord's. He says, make not a full end. That means there's a remnant that he would preserve, because Christ would needs come through this lineage. So he's not going to destroy them completely. But that destruction would be devastating. It says, for they are not the Lord's. This is the Lord sorting out this nation, separating the wheat from the chaff. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously against me, saith the Lord. People in their way of worship don't see themselves as doing a great evil. But here it's described as dealing very treacherously against the Lord. Say anything about the Lord, concerning the Lord, that is not in line with what's clearly declared here in his word is a treachery. It's a treason. They have belied the Lord. In other words, lied on God. Every time a preacher opens this word and preaches any other way than to the exclusive glory and honor of God is belying the Lord. And said, it is not he, neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword nor famine. That happens today. Preachers making false promises to people. If you just do what I say and follow, you're here for worship, you're a good member of this congregation, you give your tithe, all this stuff, you'll be fine. That's what they believe. They go to their destruction believing. It says the prophets shall become wind. Here's why. The word is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them. Exactly as they are pronouncing a false peace, and that destruction come on the people that hear them, that same destruction is going to come on them. Hell will be full of preachers who led their congregation down that broad way. I know some are going to say, well, the preacher's to blame. We're going to find out otherwise. The Lord doesn't say, well, it's because of the preacher. That's right. The preachers preach what they do because people love to have it so. They continue to support them. I was at an anniversary celebration last week, and they happened to have it in a building, a place of worship south of here. And one lady that's one of my associates, she couldn't stop talking about how good this preacher was. You need to meet him and all that. Well, I hadn't been with him 5 minutes and I knew he was a fake. But he's got a bunch of people that are following him and think the world of him. But it's like Christ said, the blind leading the blind, they both will fall into the ditch. The prophet shall become wind. Verse 14, wherefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people would, and it shall devour them. This is what he's saying to Jeremiah. Speak this word. Declare it. Lo, I will bring a nation upon you from far, the house of Israel, saith the Lord. It is a mighty nation, and it is an ancient nation, a nation whose language thou knowest not, neither understandest what they say. That was Babylon. And guess who's bringing them? Verse 15. The Lord says, lo, I will bring them. He's sovereign over all nations. He raises up one, puts down another. Their quiver is as an open sepulcher. They are all mighty men. And they shall eat up thine harvest and thy bread, which thy sons and thy daughters should eat. They shall eat up thy flocks and thy herds. They shall eat up thy vines and thy fig trees. They shall impoverish thy fenced cities wherein thou trustest with the sword. I think about false preachers today come in. That's what they do. They eat up people's wealth and well-being. They get, you got some of the poorest people giving to these preachers to drive around in their late model cars. Just devour widows' houses. They don't care. they say it's given unto the Lord, but it's really given unto them. You look at the last time you checked the millionaires of the world, see how many preachers on that list. They're devouring somebody's goods. They didn't earn that out of their own pocket. Verse 18, nevertheless, in those days, saith the Lord, I will not make a full end with you. That's the second time it's saying. What's that about? The remnant according to the election of grace. It shall come to pass when ye shall say, wherefore doth the Lord our God all these things unto us? Then thou shalt answer them, like as ye have forsaken me, and serve strange gods in your land. So shall ye serve strangers in a land that is not yours. So punishment fits the crime. You want to worship false gods? Let me just move you out for 70 years into a nation where that's all they do is worship false gods and have at it. It's like taking a dog that's messed in the house and putting his nose in it. If you want to mess here, well, guess what? You're going to smell it. That's what the Lord did. Moved them out. Declare this in the house of Jacob. Publish it in Judah, saying, hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. We're talking about a religious generation. And on this point alone, people are offended. They don't like to be told that they're lost. They don't like to be told that they're blind. They don't like to be told that they're idolaters. But that's exactly what the Lord said. Go out there and tell them. Declare this, verse 20, in the house of Jacob and publish it in Judah. These men that put themselves up on an auction block when they go around trying to find a congregation, you'll see, I still get it, these pulpit committees. They're looking for preachers to come and they want to bring them in and wine and dine them and all this. Can you imagine? I've thought about sometimes just answering, not that I would go anywhere, but let me just go stand in that pulpit one time. I did it once over in Winston-Salem, and boy, the whole house came down. But it was an opportunity to stand and declare the gospel. The pulpit committee sat there on the front row during the first time of worship, and when I came back that evening, because I was supposed to preach twice, not one was there. They're gone. That's what happens when you declare the truth. But here's the people. They have eyes, see not. They have ears, they hear not. They read the same word we do, but without eyes to see. Fear ye not me, verse 22. That's the problem. There's no fear of God. Saith the Lord, will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, and it cannot pass it? Think about how this world's surrounded by water, and yet that water comes up to a certain point, and we run on back. Who set that bound? Why doesn't, if you stand on a beach, why doesn't it just keep going? That's the Lord. That's what it says here. And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass away. But this people hath a revolting and rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they, notice, it's a heart problem in their heart. It's not a lip problem. They're saying some things. The Lord liveth all of this, but they swear falsely. They say in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter, in this season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. But your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins hath withholden good things from you. God's just in giving sinners over to their own reprobate mind. It's not because his hand's short and cannot save, but this is his way of manifesting what men are by nature, what we are by nature. We're not for the grace of God. For among my people are found wicked men. Where there's wheat, there's tares. They lay wait as he that setteth snares, They set a trap to catch men, as a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore, they are become great and waxing rich. They're waxing fat. It's talking about the leaders. This is talking about the preachers. They shine, yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They're not going to denounce the people that are funding them. They're not going to say anything contrary to get them upset. Like one popular preacher said, why would I preach on sin? We're here to be positive. Describes them as waxen fat. They shine. What eloquent. People say, man, our preacher preached a good message today. What did he say? I don't know, but it was just the way he delivered it was phenomenal. He shined. What does that have to do with anything? They judge not the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper. And the right of the needy do they not judge. Way to judge the right of the needy. What is the right of the needy? It's to hear of Christ. Because we're all needy sinners. Born sinners to Christ. Talk to them with the bread of life, water of life. That's what is vital, but they pass by that. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Not visit in a good sense, but in judgment. Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? It says a wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. It's not talking about wonderful in the sense of good. It's talking about one that causes wonder. Gives pause. Horrible thing is committing the land when he ravages that land. There were three times that Nebuchadnezzar brought his army down there into Jerusalem. First time he didn't destroy the temple, but he ravaged the land. Second time, same thing. And everybody was kind of thinking, all right, the storm has passed. The third time he came and raised the temple. Raised Jerusalem. Laid it level. That's where Daniel and his friends were taken from captivity. 70 years. But here's the thing, verse 31. Remember I said that people tend to think, well, if the preacher's misleading, then that's his fault. Look here. The prophets prophesy falsely. That's true. The priests bear rule by their means. What does it say? My people love to have it so. What will ye do in the end thereof? Sure. That's why the Lord said, take heed how you hear. Can't just say, well, he had his Bible out. He was talking about Christ, and he said some good things. That's not it. If it's not a message that gives God all the glory, all things, exalts his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a false message. He denounced as such. All right, well, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father, thank you for your word. How pointed, precious it is. One that's popular, particularly in our day. But I pray, dear Father, that for us gathered here and those listening over the internet, that you would be pleased to sort out the wheat from the chaff and to know that there are those in your mercy and grace you've been pleased to set aside. You don't follow the crowd. You don't seek after these who exalt themselves rather than exalt Christ. Needy sinners, they pant after you, the water of life. They hunger after you, the bread of life. So I pray that that might be our case. Give us that hunger, give us that thirst, that righteousness that the blessed Son came and earned and established and worked out. We might be a just God and Savior, sinners such as we are. For that, give you all the praise, honor, and glory in this dear name. Amen.
You've been listening to the Grace Abounding broadcast brought to you by the Congregation of the Shreveport Grace Church in Shreveport, Louisiana. We meet at 2970 Baird Road and invite you to join us each Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.shrevegrace.org or call 318-687-4943. Please plan to join us again next week.